Sports Podcast. It's been a little bit, but we are back with one of my favorite guests, Greg Finberg. I just want to dive right into it because I'm always excited to talk about some Wizards basketball with you, my man. How is everything going for you?
It's going well. Got back to college pretty recently, so been a lot of work there. But Wizard season starting back up, so going to be a lot more work for me. Hopefully, a lot more work for the Wizards because they got a lot of work to do in this rebuild. So yeah, I'm excited to be here and talk some Wizards basketball with you, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, Greg and I have been through it when it comes to supporting this team. For those of you that don't know, Greg has been on this podcast before, but just to give you an update on Greg, he works with SB Nation on the Bolts Forever, I guess, like that side of the company. And he helps with writing articles for the Wizards. He's basically the Wizards guy. If you need to talk about Wizards basketball, he's the guy that's tweeting. I mean, his Twitter has been growing like no one's business. A lot of viral tweets in there. He also helps out with his college's newspaper. He helps out with like editing that. So he's been doing a lot. He's really into the journalism realm, and I'm just so happy to have him on today because if anyone knows Wizards basketball, it's this guy. So let's jump right into it. Draft picks: Alex Saar, Bob Carrington. I'm forgetting the last guy, of course. My God.
Keyshawn George.
Keaton George. All right. So let's just talk about Alex Saar real quick. I'm still excited for him. I don't care what anybody says. But to those of you that don't know, the Wizards drafted second overall. They drafted Alex Saar, who a lot of people for many months thought would be the first overall pick in the draft. He didn't really have a great summer league. A lot of people were questioning, is he even good at basketball? Greg, what were your thoughts on that? What were your thoughts on the summer league? Was there anything, because there were, in my opinion, some positive things to take away from him in the summer league, but did you see that also?
I did. I feel like with Alex Saar, if you watched him during his NBL days, if you watched any good coverage of the pre-draft process, you would understand that coming in, it was defense first. I mean, if you watched Will Dawkins' presser after the draft, he said when we asked Alex Saar what he brings, he said defense. It's about defense for Alex Saar, and to come in with such a limited offensive game, and have a great defensive game. And be the number two pick, like your defense has to be pretty outstanding. Because if you watch Summer League, you saw that the offense, it's not there yet. It's got a long way to go. And for the Wizards to take that guy, number two, the highest draft pick since they took John at number one in 2010, clearly that defense had to be there. The potential had to be there offensively. And I think you saw that on full display in Summer League. I mean, there was a moment in the first game against Atlanta. He had three blocks in like 30 seconds. And pretty much every game he played, he was altering shots if he wasn't blocking them. He was getting his hands in passing lanes. So from what I saw on defense, I was impressed. It was what I expected. Now look, the offense, it was never expected to be good from the get-go, but you have to admit it was a lot worse than a lot of people thought. He made his first three, I think, and then missed every single one since then. No real mid-range game, back to the basket game, non-existent, no post moves. He'd catch the ball, in the paint, and he'd look to immediately pass it out, very passive. So, discouraging offensive effort. But what I will say about Saar is, again, I blame ESPN. I blame certain media outlets that were just covering the draft for Bronny James and for big name players because they did nothing on Alex Saar. They did nothing on Risa Shea or Reed Sheppard. Because they weren't household names. So, Wizards fans can't be faulted for expecting this guy to be an offensive juggernaut when he was never covered by the national media. Again, for a person like me that studied him from the pre-draft and for other people that studied him in the pre-draft, they understood the offensive shortcomings and how good he was on defense. And I feel like that was reflected in Summer League. So I don't think it's time to hit the panic button. I'm certainly not hitting the panic button. But I will admit that while I didn't expect him to be great offensively, he was a lot worse than I anticipated.
That's a great way to put it. 100%. I think with Saar is it's interesting. He has a great frame. He stands at 7'1". He's athletic. He's tall. Good reach. What you're saying about him being an anchor in defense is the truth. He looked NBA ready on the defensive end. He was making plays on the defensive end. Sorry, making plays on the defensive end. He looked like he could be a great defender in this league. And now in the offensive end, Didn't really know what to expect. I mean, wasn't the best shooter, didn't shoot a lot, period. I do think, like, these comparisons of him to like Evan Mobley is something that I would love to see, of course. But if he develops a jump shot, which I'm not saying is the easiest thing to do, if he develops a jump shot, we have a threat. He's a 7-1 power forward. I mean, who knows, but he says he's a power forward, so we'll call him that. 7-1 power forward. He can defend. He's long. He's a good athlete. I think if he develops a jump shot and some playmaking ability, some kind of vision that I think he will develop as he just keeps playing and playing in the NBA, there's something to be excited about there. And I think, look, he's young. He's a rookie. He hasn't even played in a game in the NBA regular season yet. I do think it was interesting to see, like, everybody kind of like overreacting a little bit to see, like, oh, he's 0 for 12, 0 for this, whatever. And you combine that with the Bronny James hype that you mentioned, it's just not a good combination. So I like that analysis. I like Alex Starr going forward. Call me crazy, call you crazy, but he's young and I think he's a project. And I think the Wizards are in no need to have him be like a star right away. This is a very lengthy rebuild that they have ahead. And why not have projects in there like him? Bilal seemed like a project. He's already looking pretty established, as we saw this past summer in the Olympics, or just even like at the end of last season. So it's going to be interesting with him. But the guy that I did love to see play was Bob Carrington, and he can do a lot. Does everything you can want. He was putting up, I think, like 16 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, 5 assists. Did we just draft a steal here? Is that what you think?
I think it's a little too early to tell. I mean, this is a guy that a lot of people tell me I'm young for this stuff, but I mean, he just turned 19. He's younger than me. So look, the Wizards draft him at 18 years old. He's a very talented player with a lot of upside. But again, it's a player that would ben it's going to benefit greatly from the Wizards timeline, just like Alex Starr, because I don't think he's ready yet to come in and be the superstar, prolific scorer. But the glory of it is he has 3 to 4 years before it really starts to get real, before the Wizards really need to start seeing production. And I think it'll take that time to get better. I mean, if you look at from the start of his playing days at Pitt until the time he left for the draft, it's night and day how much better he got, and he's only gonna get better. They played him a lot on ball in the beginning of the season, and I thought that kind of limited his scoring ability because he was trying to find teammates, which he did a good job at. But then, midway through, Jeff Capel said, "Look, let's try him off ball as a two guard," and he was phenomenal. I mean, mid-range is automatic pretty much. He's adding an outside jump shot. You saw that in summer league. He's very good attacking the rim and scoring around the basket. And the thing that I like most about him is the aggression he plays with, the physicality he plays with for such a slender guy. I mean, if you look, he was picking up full court in summer league. Like that's the type of competitor that you want to be drafting. That's the type of two-way player you want to be drafting. I mean, you can get a Jordan Poole that can score, but can't play defense, and what does it do for you? But if you get a Jordan Poole that can lock down on defense, then you have a real star. You have all-star potential, and that's what I see in Bub. And the thing that I will say about Bub, and I'm sure we'll talk about the trade in a second, with Denny Avdia, but this is what I said the second it happened. I did a pod right after the draft. If the Wizards were willing to trade 22-year-old Denny Avdia right after his breakout season for an unknown 18-year-old that they brought in for a workout the day before the draft, that workout must have been unbelievable. He must have showed them, we can't miss on this guy. We can't take him at two. We need to do everything we can to acquire another lottery pick. They did that with Portland. They got Bob. So clearly, if you don't see it, the Wizards see it. And they were willing to give up a lot just to get a guy who hasn't even played an NBA game yet. So I'm very ecstatic about Bob and what he could be for this team.
You just hyped me the hell up, man. You just got me going. I'm like, I don't want to get too excited. Again, it's a summer league sample. We've seen not so much of him, but everything you just said about him is what a team is looking for. And look, I want to talk about the trade real quick because Bob was involved, of course. My initial reaction was, what's going on? Why? Denny's coming off a great year. Like, he's a good asset to the team. Why are we trading him? Like, why are we giving him up? Especially, no love Malcolm Brogdon, whatever. I just didn't really understand it. But after like seeing these flashes of Bub play back, and I want to talk about his rebounding because Doing that as a point guard is extremely impressive. He averaged 7.4 rebounds. I'm pretty sure that's like almost close to Lonzo Ball's rebounding. So like he has potential to be a great rebounding guard, which is huge, huge advantage. Just want to touch on that. I'm excited. I'm excited. I think he has a really strong ability to be an impactful playmaker. I think he will develop his basketball IQ more and more, and like same thing with Sar, hopefully. But I think Bub just has that vision. I think he understands the game. I think he's a utility guy. He can do it all. Like, you know, he's on ball, like full court, like whatever. Like that is what we need. We need a dog like that. And I think like he's gonna be a fun guy to develop. I'm excited for him. But what was your initial reaction to the trade? Were you expecting it? Because I sure as hell wasn't. But wondering what you thought. I saw that notification and I was like,
Yeah.
what?
So it's a funny story actually, because I went to the draft with my brother. He's 2 years older. He just graduated from Penn State. But we went to DC. My friend Troy Halliburton, who does Wizards blogging, I'm sure you've seen his stuff. Great dude. He was hosting a draft party for Wizards fans in downtown DC. Asked me if I could come and speak there. You know, after the picks, and I was more than happy to. So we were. It was, you know, probably like 20 minutes, 30 minutes before the draft. We were walking. We just got McDonald's actually. You know, great little pre-draft meal. It never misses. But I was walking. I was walking out, and I got the notification. And I mean, there's so many fake accounts now with the whole verification thing on Twitter. So I thought it was fake. But I went to it, and I, look, it, apart from Bilal, Denny was the last person I expected to go. So it was very shocking. And when he originally ju when it originally literally just said for Malcolm Brogdon and draft capital, I was just like, what? Like, what are we doing? But then but that's why you wait. I mean, I had no words. I tweeted out no, I quote tweeted, I said no way. And I just had my men like you can ask my brother, my phone was like broken because like I was refreshing and it was just like spam after spam of like, what are we doing? What did we get? And I'm like, guys, I don't know. Like I'm just like you. I have no idea what happened. And so once I got the details and it was like, okay, it's the 14th pick in Brogdon. That makes me feel better. Oh, we got an additional protected first round pick and we got a second round pick as well. I get it now. And then David Aldridge dropped, I think 20 minutes later. Nobody knows this, but the Wizards brought in Bob Carrington last night for a workout. And once I saw that, I made the connection to Bilal last year because Bilal did one workout before the draft last year, and it was the day before the draft, and it was with the Wizards. Because if you don't remember, the season with Nets, they were in the playoffs, so it ended pretty close to the draft. And so he did one workout, and I was like, well, that's kind of the same thing that this front office did last year. I think they're going to take Bub. And I tweeted out after the seventh pick when Bub was still there, and the Blazers didn't take him at seven. I was like, I think the Wizards are going to take Bub Carrington. It just makes sense. And that's eventually what happened. And look. Denny was a you know one of my favorite players. You know, been he was the longest tenured wizard, and it was only his fourth year. And it was just nice last year to see him go from somebody that was kind of clowned for is you know he's kind of a bust. You drafted him really high at nine, and he hasn't really turned into anything. He turns the ball over, he fouls, he can't shoot, he can't dribble, and it all just kind of came together last year. And he was, I mean, if you ask me, he is the best player on the team. Even entering this season, I think he's the best player on the team. I think he's better than Poole, and I think he's better than Kuzma if you're trying to win games. And to see that player get traded at such a young age, it just kind of was like, wow, this rebuild is going to take a lot longer. I feel like it was kind of a reality check. And like for those people that thought maybe in a year or two the Wizards could be back in the playoffs, like it's going to be a while. If you're just starting high school, you're going to be in college by the time that they're good, and you just got to kind of realize that. And I think that that trade was a reality check for most Wizards fans.
I think so too. And, you know, we're so sick of like sugarcoating anything. We're just like facing the reality at this point. What I didn't like about the trade and something I still don't like is seeing the NBA money going around now, looking at the extension that he got. I mean, we're talking 4 years, 55 million, absolute steal for a guy that can do so much now, at least. That's what I'm bummed about. But look, Bob's on a rookie contract, of course. Got an extra, like we got a good amount for him. I'm not super sad about it anymore. I love Denny just like you. And the thing is with Denny, though, Denny, the year he was picked ninth overall, People were saying that he slid. People were saying that, oh, this guy should have top four talent, top three
Yeah.
talent. He was falling. So it was disappointing to see that he wasn't necessarily living up to like the, oh, like he should have been top three, top four. And it was refreshing to kind of see last year he just grew. But look, I'm always going to be rooting for him. I'm sure you will. That's an interesting take that you think he would be the best player on the Wizards now, though. I don't
Yeah.
know if I fully agree. I understand where that comes from. I think like overall as a player, but I don't know if you ask me that
Yeah,
question.
like I said, I should have phrased it a different way, but like I said he's the best player on the team if I'm trying to win games.
Yeah.
Like and I've been on the record saying this, I don't think Kyle Kuzma is a winning player as a number one or number two option. I mean, he was the number three option on the Wizards, and they won 35 games in back-to-back seasons with him as the number two. You look at him in LA, he was a fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth man option, and he was great in that role, and they won a title. And now he's the number one option, and the Wizards won 15 games. So look, I think if I had Kyle Kuzma one-on-one, he'd beat Denny Avdia. I think skill-wise, Kyle Kuzma is better, but Denny Avdia plays both sides. He's a terrific defender. He's, really molded into a strong offensive player. And if I'm trying to win games, I'm taking Denny Avdia 10 times out of 10. And if you talk about Jordan Poole, he's probably a worse defender than Kyle Kuzma and had a down year last year. And Jordan Poole, again, like Kyle Kuzma, won a ring, but as the sixth man, not as the starting point guard. So I think these guys are being asked, and it's unfair because they're being asked to play roles that they're probably not good enough for at the moment. But if I'm taking a guy that I want to win with, I'm taking Denny.
Very fair. Very fair. And I do agree with that when it comes to the best asset for a championship or just a winning team. I do agree with that. And he will be very missed, but hopefully somebody can come in there and just become the answer to our prayers. And I want to talk about Keyshawn George really quickly. What were your thoughts on him? I mean, looked pretty efficient. Like, I feel like he's just like a basketball purist. Like, I think he's like that, a dream of like a basketball like guru. Shot pretty well, from what I'm seeing from the numbers, because I'm not like a freak like all that. But shot 51.7% from the field, nearly 48% from three. Made at least one three a game. I think he looks like a pretty good like floor stretcher. Like, if he can, shoot the ball, shoot somewhat consistently, play good defense, I feel like he'd be a nice asset. What was the takeaway? We'll keep it at one takeaway that you saw from George.
My biggest takeaway is I'm happy that we have a front office that understands where they're picking at and understands that it's really tough to find starter level superstar talent at the back end of the first, early second of the draft. And I feel like a lot of teams miss out on that. I think they try to make home run picks there instead of just taking the best guy to help the team in whatever role. And I think Keyshawn George is a perfect 3-and-D wing that every single team needs. It's the wave in the NBA now. You look at a team like the Pelicans, Trey Murphy,
I was just
six
thinking that. There's no way
six
he's
eight
there.
six eight wing that can shoot. They have Herb Jones, like a 6'10" wing that can shoot.
A three and
Naji
D.
Marshall, Brandon Ingram, like they have the same build, and that's kind of a build across the league. Keyshawn George is 6'7". He's only 19, or actually, I think he's 20. But like you said, nearly 50% from three in summer league, 50% from the field. So a very efficient, not only shooter, but very efficient from all phases of the floor. And the defense is sick. I mean, he guarded one through four in summer league, and I mean, he took that guy away. Whoever his assignment was, he took away. Your great lateral quickness, great size, great length for a defender. And that's my biggest takeaway: the fact that they drafted somebody that I think can play with anybody. I think is a guy that can fit in any type of lineup, is the perfect build for today's league. A guy that can shoot and a guy that can defend that has decent size. I mean, he's the perfect archetype, a young guy as well. So that's my biggest takeaway: the fact that they're not going for home runs when they should be hitting singles. They're hitting the singles, and that's how you build a team in a smaller market.
Dude, that is 100%. That is crazy. You just said Trey Murphy. I was like thinking, I was like, his player comp and what we aspire him to be is a guy like Trey Murphy. Like, oh, wow, that was crazy. All right. Awesome. Love that we talked about that. I'm excited for the three guys to kind of step into our squad and hopefully have pretty big roles with the team. I mean, we know Sarr's most likely going to start. Bob will back up Brogdon. Like, we'll hopefully see some progress there. But let's talk about our glorious roster. Got a starting five projected. You know, if I had to make the call, not sure if that means anything, but Brogdon, Poole, Kuz, Sarr, Valanciunas is probably going to be the starting five. Guys coming off the bench like Bob, Corey Kispert, Bilal, PBJ, Patrick Baldwin Jr. Am I crazy to say that it's not as bad as I would think? I don't think it's as bad as people. I think the depth is a problem. I think the second unit, not very good. But when it comes to starting five, I mean, look, Brogdon, stud, was putting up good numbers last year, can defend. Poole is Poole. Kuzma can score. Sar project. All right, maybe it's not so good after all. But what do we think about the starting five? I don't hate it. I think they have some talent there. They have some guys that can shoot. Valanciunas was, in my opinion, the steal of the offseason. I feel like he's going to be a trade target for a lot of contending teams. He's on like an $11 million deal per year or something like that. Like a really good value deal for him. What do we think about the starting lineup? And it's just like the moves overall. We have three new guys in our starting lineup. So what do you think?
Yeah, I would advise caution, just because I think I did the same thing last year. I mean, I remember I looked at Danilo Gallinari like he was a 29-year-old Gallinari playing for the Knicks and the Nuggets, and I thought, okay, like they really have this team at 23 and a half wins, and they think that the Wizards aren't going to get it. They got 15, so you got to factor in like this is the roster now, but people get injured. You have a lot of veterans on this team. Post deadline, I think the team's going to be a lot worse. It's going to look a lot different. And then you got to imagine, I mean, the Wizards were one of, if not the worst, post trade deadline team. I mean, they didn't win a game in February last year. They went 0-15. So I think I would advise a little caution. I wouldn't say you're crazy because I think they're going to be better than they were this past year. And I think that's a result of, like, a lot of people say they're in year two of the rebuild. I think they're in year one now. They were in year zero last year. Because when you make such big trades in Bradley Beal and Porzingis, you have to bring back some people you don't want. Some people like Gallinari, Muscala, Landry Shamet. And those guys aren't good, but you have to play them to build the trade value. They did that, got Marvin Bagley in 2 seconds because they did that with the Pistons and traded Gallo and Muscala there. Same thing for Daniel Gafford, traded him for basically Keyshawn George, which is a very good trade, and Rashawn Holmes. So I think the veterans this year, like you mentioned with Brogdon, Holmes, Bagley, Valanciunas, a full year of that is a lot better than Muscala, Gallinari,
Oh,
Shamet, and
100%.
those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And you factor in, you still have Poole, you still have Kuz, you don't have Denny, but you have Bilal and the three rookies this year. You have Vucevic, who will be playing with the go-go to start the year. But again, I don't think they are as bad as last year. I'll say that. I do think that they are bad. Very bad, and possibly worst team in the league bad, but that's not the end of the world. I mean, you're not trying to win a title.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd say. In terms of the starting five, it's not necessarily a pushback, but I think Bilal needs to start. I don't I would not be happy if we get to opening night, we're playing Boston, and you're out there looking at Kyle Kuzma, who really, I don't know if he's a good defender or a bad defender. I don't know if he's trying or not trying, but you're going to put him on Jason Tatum, and then what are you going to do? Put Malcolm Brogdon on Brown, and then you got Jordan Poole guarding Jrue Holiday. It's barbecue chicken. Like they're going to cook that unit. So if you add in Bilal and it's a little more defense, bring Sar off the bench because I don't think he's ready. And then you put Kuz at the four. I think that's a lot more even keeled, and you lose offense. But at the end of the day, I don't think Alex Starr has any offense right now. And I think Bilal is lacking in it, but he has a lot more to offer, offensively, and is a better defender. So I think that's the starting five I'd go with. A lot of people also think Corey Kispert should start over Brogdon. I disagree. I think Malcolm Brogdon's a great defender, 41% 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
And I think he should play off ball. I definitely want Jordan Poole starting at point guard. We saw, when he started a shooting guard last year, it wasn't that great. And when he moved to point guard, it was great. So I think I'd go Poole at the one, Brogdon at the two, Bilal at the three, and then I'd round it out with Kuz and Valanciunas. Just bring Sar off the bench, Kispert off the bench, and go from there.
Interesting. I don't hate that. I kind of am in agreement with you. The one thing that I'm a little torn about, well, look, I don't think Kispert should start over Brogdon. I think Brogdon is our, he's our point guard. I don't think Kispert has the ball handling that Brogdon had. He just doesn't. I don't even think he just doesn't. And I'm in favor of Brogdon starting for sure. I'm kind of thinking just to start Sar, just to kind of throw him out there and see what he can do, and just like watch him grow and grow and grow. Just keep starting him. If he's just an absolute train wreck, then you bench him. But I do understand just bringing him off the bench because he's just isn't ready, offensively at least. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, we have no idea what's going to happen with anything regarding the team this year. But I like Brian Keefe. I don't hate him. I think he's a good coach. I think he's dealing with one of the worst rosters in the league, and he's a little promising. And like, look, we'll give him a chance this year. We'll see what he does. We'll see what this front office does. And just like you said, I do think it is year one of the rebuild. Last year, they jumped into a ridiculous situation and they had to work with something, and it was the Beal trade, and we ended up winning that trade by a lot. I mean, you look at it now, I mean, Beal's getting paid like 50 plus a year, and he's just not. I love Bradley. I love you, man, but like, just not who he usually is. So we definitely won that trade. The Porzingis deal, we don't have to talk about that. But anyways, this is year one. I'm excited to see what these three rookies can do. I'm excited to see what this roster can do because it is a mix of vets. There are some scorers on there. There's not a lot of defense, I'll be straight up, but there are some really good pieces on here that I think there could be some positive aspects of this roster and this season, even if they're the worst team in the league. If we just see the development of Bilal, if we see him become the guy that we want him to be, if we see that Bub and Alex and Keyshawn, if we see them being just like players that can impact the game, that's a W in my book. And then hopefully we pick first next year and get Cooper Flagg and everything. Just, all of a sudden it's like a Wemby saga. That's a dream, of course, or Ace Bailey, but whatever. So I'm excited. And, I say this now, I'll probably be miserable a couple weeks in, but I think for right now, there's a lot to be excited about. We have a lot of young talent coming in. We have a new roster. We have two vets that are coming in that are, in my opinion, both really good assets for contending teams. And we'll see what happens with the deadline and all of that. I know Brogdon was being talked about with the Celtics, with all these different teams, whatever. But we'll see what happens. And at the end of the day, we're all of us Wizards fans are going to get this. We're going to get through this, I promise. But yeah, so just like to wrap everything up. Do you follow like the Commanders? Do you follow football like going on right now? Or
I wouldn't say I'm as big of a Commanders fan as a Wizards fan, but more recently, as I started to get into more the journalism side of the Wizards, I wouldn't say it's a job anymore because I still watch every game no matter what.
right.
But the Commanders are kind of the one team where I can just kind of just watch the games for fun. I don't have to live tweet. I don't have to be locked in. I can just enjoy myself.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Commanders fan. My whole family is. I'm very happy with the win on Sunday. I'll take it, but it's been tough. I mean, I grew up
Ugly,
in New
but good.
Jersey. I grew up in South Jersey, so all my friends from school, they're all Eagles fans. So every day, I come to school, they'd all give me, all that stuff about your team sucks. I'm like, I know my team sucks, especially because they've been pretty good. And I go to Penn State. Everyone here is an Eagles fan too, so it's been tough. But yeah, huge Commanders
Well,
fan.
I'll tell you one thing. It was extremely satisfying to see what happened last night in the game against the Falcons. That was, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Complete breakdown by the Eagles defensively. But whatever, I'll save that for another time. But quick question about the Commanders. What do we think of them this year? I know, like, obviously, it's pretty similar to the Wizards with just like new front office, new team rebuild. In football, rebuilds happen a little quicker. I think the NBA takes a little bit longer. Football, we can see, like, for example, the Houston Texans got CJ Stroud. All of a sudden, they win a playoff game and whatever. What do we think about the Commanders right now? Obviously, there's a lot of hype with Jaden. Not a lot of hype anywhere else, to be honest. But are things just happening with the Commanders, do you think?
Yeah, I think fans are getting a little antsy because we've heard the same story 4 or 5 times in the last 6, 7 years. Like, okay, this is year one of our rebuild. We're going to start building it and we're going to get good again. And then it just falls apart. I mean, you saw it with Jay Gruden a little bit. That was promising for 2 seconds and then fell apart. He's fired. You bring in Rivera, who just got fired from Carolina. Okay, we got to rebuild this thing, completely tear it down. And then you see the exact same results every single year. And so when you get to this year, I'm really kind of tired. You know, most fans are tired of it. It's just like, okay, we've heard this before. You know, it's going to take some time. We're rebuilding and changing the culture. But, you know, fans have heard the same tired story all the time. I do think what's different is that the owner is different. I think that's huge because with Dan Snyder here, it was like, yeah, I kind of want to win a Lombardi, but I don't want him to be the first person to touch it. I don't want to see him holding it up because he sucks. He's a terrible person and he doesn't represent any of the fan base or any of this franchise for that matter. So the fact that he finally sold it, that's why this kind of feels a little different. I think most fans do have to realize that it's not going to be this year. It probably won't be next year, which sucks when, I mean, I'm 20. I've never seen a playoff win in my life, ever. Which is mind blowing. I've seen 2 playoff games. It was the 2020 game against Tampa doesn't count because it wasn't any fans there. 2012 RG3, and I think the third was 2016 with Kirk against the Packers, and lost all 3 of those games, all of them being at home. So that sucks, but I don't think it'll be this year. Maybe they sneak into the 6 or 7 spot. I think Philly's probably going to win the division or Dallas, but. I think it's looking up. I mean, Jaden Daniels has looked terrific. Definitely looked better than Caleb Williams. Drake May's not even playing. Bo Nix looks terrible. Michael Penix isn't even, you know, he's just going to ride the bench for the next 4 years behind Kirk. So, I mean, it looks like a great pick. And when you compare it to the last time they had the number 2 pick, took Chase Young, passed on Justin Herbert and Tua. So I'm glad that they finally got the QB. I need him to slide a lot more. Because he almost got hurt, and that would have been devastating. I don't want to see Jeff Driskel play, but again, I'm very excited about this season and honestly the future too.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, like, call me corny or whatever, but like, Jaden has aura. He literally has aura, and I think it's something that we haven't seen in a while. I mean, I was born in 99. I've seen one Commanders Redskins playoff win, and that was, I believe, against the Bucks in like 2005 or something. What was it, like, Mark Brunell days, like, oh, whatever. They have not been successful. They are pretty poorly ran. They were at least a poorly ran franchise for the last couple of years with Dan Snyder, of course. Yeah, Jaden needs a slide 100%. We don't want him to go down. He's a rushing QB. We need him to protect his legs. We see what happens to guys like Lamar and these guys that have been injured, and it's nothing against those guys. It's just like bound to happen when you're running the ball and throwing the ball, like, you're doing something every play. Jaden looks good. I'm hoping he kind of gets more comfortable throwing the ball. I think he's looked pretty confident rushing the ball as a QB. I think it's opened up the field a little bit. I think it gives the defense a lot of attention on him with the running game. I would love for the running game to then open up the passing game with guys like Terry McLaurin, who has not been very good this year. He had like 6 catches for 22 yards. Like, they need to use him more. They need to use their guys more. And I'm not saying they have a ton of weapons, but Austin Eckler can still play, can still catch the ball, can still be productive. Zach Ertz, I don't know how old he is, but he could still do something maybe. Terry, Deami, like, these guys are there for a reason. So I think, like, as time goes, as the season progresses, Jaden will feel more comfortable. But the Commanders have a lot of good vets on there too. They have a good coaching staff. Dan Quinn is been fine. They had a nice dub against the Giants. It was the ugliest win I've ever seen. No touchdowns, but it doesn't matter if you win the game. Giants had no kicker, so maybe that would have been different. Who knows? But I'm excited too. I think, like, DC had a really nice change with their sports. I think, like, when it comes to ownership, we've seen miserable, miserable franchises. Like, Ernie Grunfeld was the worst. I don't care if he doesn't know me or whatever. I can say this. Was not happy to have him kind of overseeing the team. Management was just bad. Like, Ted, like, come on, Ted, let's pick it up. But now that we have a really competent front office, I mean, we stole guys from the Nuggets and the Clippers, whatever it may be. I think, like, Dawkins is going to be the guy that kind of takes us into the competent route. I believe like he's already showing that he's capable of putting together a competent front office by flipping older guys for younger contracts and draft picks. I think that's something that Ernie Grunfeld and the Wizards didn't used to really do. They were built on mediocrity. They just wanted to stack up and stack up on mediocre players to just make the playoffs and be the 8 or 7 seed every year. I think Will Dawkins came in here and said, you know what? Like, that's not going to fly. We can't just be on the border every year. We have to make that push to be one of the best teams of the East. And we see what happened with the Thunder and even the Timberwolves. Like, these teams were miserable for years. And the Thunder, in my opinion, have one of the best rosters, and they have the potential to be a dynasty in this NBA. And I think the Wizards, I don't think they can get there yet, but I think like they can replicate that kind of like path. I mean, look, it was a really historic trade with Shea and the Clippers and that whole thing. I think it's gonna take a lot for the Wizards to kind of have to strike on. I think they really have to get some things right that we'll never expect, but I do think they're headed in the right direction with just an idea of adding young talent and really just trying to hit on draft picks. I think that's really important rather than just like stacking up on just like guys that are a little bit older just to make the playoffs and lose in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, look, you gotta think and gotta imagine the Thunder is what the replication, the Wizards are going for. They have so many first round picks and they have such a talented roster, such a young roster. So that's kind of the formula for it. And I think you've kind of seen the early stages where, like Will Dawkins said, they're not drafting players for who they are now. They're drafting them for what they can be. And that's for what they can be in like 2028, 2029, and not now. So look, the Thunder rebuild took 4 to 5 years. This one's going to take a lot longer. But I do think they're building it the right way, and I think that's what's most important.
100%. Greg, it's always great talking to you. Before we end this, let's give our predictions for the Wizards in the regular season. I mean, these are going to be really low numbers, but what do you think?
Yeah. 21-61. I made that prediction like a month ago. I'm going to stick with it. I do think they're going to be slightly better than they were last year, but again, once the trade deadline hits, I think a lot of these guys will be gone.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a struggle. I mean, rebuilding teams towards the end of the year, you're just trying to get through the year. A lot of people that are slightly injured are going to sit out just because there's no point. And then you're left with a roster of draft picks, undrafted free agents, go-go players. And then that's how you end up with, a very poor record.
Probably the right answer. And I think maybe even less than that. But I'm going to be a little optimistic about this team. I mean, maybe that's bad. Maybe I should want them to have less wins to have a higher draft pick. I'll say 25. You know what? I'll say 25 and 57. I'll go a couple games up from you. I'll go like 4 games up from you. And we'll keep it around that. There will not be more than 25 wins on this team. And if there are, I don't even know what to say, but look, man, thank you for joining. It's always a pleasure. As a season is a month away, I'm sure we will catch up about the Wizards more and more and more. Keep doing what you're doing with Bulls Forever and everything. And dude, let's have an NBA season, man. Let's watch this team be bad, you know?
Yeah, thank you again for having me on, Matt. It's always a pleasure to join you on these pods. A lot of fun, a lot of good questions. I feel like we talked kind of through the timeline of what happened this offseason to kind of prepare everyone for the season. So, again, I appreciate you having me.
Dude, of course, anytime. And I also wanted you to plug your podcast a little bit. We're going to talk about it after, of course. But for those that are listening today, Greg is also a podcaster himself. And I want him to talk a little bit more about that and just like share with you guys with what he's kind of cooking up over there.
Yeah, so I mean, similar to Matt, I do a Wizards type podcast. It's literally called the Wizards Podcast. I got a lot of people telling me that I need to change the name. I need to make it cooler. I disagree. If you want to listen to my
Okay.
podcast, if you want
Yeah.
to listen to anything about the Wizards, you know where to find it. It's the Wizards Podcast. So that's on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, literally any platform you can think of. Over the off season, it's kind of fluctuated just because like there's not much happening right now. I don't want to put out a pod about nothing. But once the season picks up, I do 2 episodes a week. We're coming up on a year that I've been doing the pod. It's been a lot of fun. It's always cool to see that people genuinely want to hear what I have to say. So look, if you're looking for a pod, if you first off, if you've already listened to Matt's pod, then you can come over to my pod after that. But you know, if you're looking for a pod to listen to stuff, it's literally all things Wizards. If you want to stay up to date on the team and all that type of stuff, that's the place to be.
Love it. And I'll be tagging the link to Greg's podcast on my Instagram story and everything. But Greg, we'll be in touch, my guy. Thanks for joining.
Yep, thanks, Matt.